Praise the Lord. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And then we're going to turn to one other verse in the book of Proverbs. We'll read both of these verses in unison tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse number 23. And let's read it together in unison. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. You ready? Here we go. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 7. Let's read this in unison together as well. You ready? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. Holy Spirit, please, may I, just in these next 30 minutes or so, be able to help our people. Lord, it's a nasty world out there. It's a mean, it's a rough, it's a wicked, evil place. It's kind of an uncaring, unthankful place. May we learn to think and live a little bit more like you want us to because of the truth tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll give me just a couple moments to be a little transparent, I'm not lifting me up, but I need to set the premise for something here. I have had a position in life to where I work with people all the time. I have met and worked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, in my 30 years of the ministry. I mean that. If you sit in that chair, you can get baptized like a Methodist, all right? It's dripping. Mrs. Barnes. Now, I counted up the attendance. It's actually the row ahead of that, Joe. It's not that one. A couple of years ago, somewhere in the ballpark of 8 million people have attended the churches that I've been either an assistant pastor or a pastor in over the last 30 years. So when I say that, I'm not lying, all right? And that's not the people I've met out soul winning. That's not all the counseling. That's not all the attendances of all the churches I've been at while I've been preaching, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My family plays a game. It's kind of funny. My wife's grinning. She knows exactly where I'm headed with this. When my kids were growing up, the game was, can we go somewhere and somebody not know who Dad is? It didn't matter if it was the store. Didn't matter if it was vacation. We were at Hershey Park one day with a school group, and somebody come running up at Hershey Park that knew me from years before. It happened to be one of my kids was with me that had won the trip or something. Dad, we can't even come here. We took a junior-senior trip to Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge area one year. I had a group of teenagers with me. And matter of fact, I think it was with the church here. But we were down there. May not have been. I don't know. But all of a sudden, somebody came up in the downtown streets of Pigeon Forge, asked me to sign their Bible. They said, you're Brother Bush, aren't you? And they knew who I was. And I'm thinking, I mean, this is March in Pigeon Forge. You know, I wasn't down there to preach. It's just, I've been a lot of places. I'm not a famous person, but something this ugly, you don't forget. Amen? That's right. I'll tell it like it is. And I hate using this term, my job is to work with people and to be with people and to meet all kinds of people. There's a lady that visited a couple weeks ago. She came on a Wednesday night. I remember knocking on her door from 2 years ago. I knocked on her door 2 years ago and she came to church finally. I said, I know you from somewhere. She said, yeah, you knocked on my door about 2 years ago. Okay, yeah, I met you then. I've just learned how to recognize people's faces. Do I always remember their name? I'm doing good to remember mine sometimes. But I try. And I meet all different kinds of people. I meet happy people. I meet sad people. I meet joyous people. I meet people that eat nails for breakfast and push old ladies down the steps for lunch. That's Scott. I meet sick people. I meet people that are well. I meet dying people. Professional people. I meet street people. You name it. There's not a people that I haven't probably kind of met. And I don't mean this to sound wrong. I'm not good in most areas of life. But I have learned that my attitude towards the human race still remains pretty decent. I haven't lost my hope in the human race yet. I hope I never do. I don't listen to the news and say, oh, I'm panicked about what's going to happen. Don't believe what you hear. But many of us need to realize the press is trying to control people's thinking, not report what's happening. Isn't it amazing? Somebody can be accused of something and the news has got them guilty, convicted, and put in jail already. Used to be innocent until proven guilty, not accused of guilt. One of my favorite stories in the whole Bible is the woman that they brought to Jesus that was accused of adultery in the very act. And Jesus said, you had no sin, cast the first stone, got down on the ground, started writing in the dirt. And everybody started dropping their stones and walked away. And Jesus looked at the woman and said, whose are these thine accusers? Have you ever noticed the person that she was with wasn't with her? Hebrew culture required both of them to be brought and killed, not just one. And Jesus didn't say, who are these that found you guilty? He said, who are these thine accusers? An accusation doesn't make somebody guilty. We call that woman guilty of adultery. Jesus didn't. We don't know that she was. So I say that to say, I've learned not to let people get me down to where I've lost faith in the human race. I can hurt for people that I don't know. This truck and bus accident out in New Mexico. Oh, my soul. I hurt for those families that lost loved ones. But let me ask you a question. Have you hurt for the truck driver? Can you imagine living the rest of your life knowing front tire blew out, you lost control? And by the way, that's not hard to do. Amen. If you've never lost a front tire on something that large, and if the load shifted at all, he's lucky to have been alive. But how'd you like to live with the fact that you creamed out a bus like that and killed 8 people at least and a bunch of others in the hospital? I can't imagine what he is going through right now. And my heart goes out to him. When there's tragedies that strike, when that tsunami hit over in Indonesia and those tens of thousands of people died. You know, I hurt for those people. Most of them died and went to hell. There were entire villages that were just gone. Entire people groups gone. It doesn't take me long to hurt for people like that. Please don't take this the wrong way. I can love people I never met. I can sincerely love someone I have never met because that's something that has to be from you, not something that you get. I can sincerely hurt for people whom I've just met. And when people find out you're a preacher, you hear things you sometimes don't want to hear. It just happens. And you just learn to hurt for people. Now, I want to show you something here. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Then it says in Proverbs 23, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want to talk about our heart's attitude towards others. How is your heart's attitude towards others? Not that fake smile of, hey, how are you? And you really don't care. Do you ever want to shock somebody? Walk by them and say, good morning, how are you? And they'll say something, and they'll say, oh, good, how are you? Man, I am doing fantastic. And they'll stop. They don't know how to react to that. There's a lady that works in the building here, a little black lady that works down the end of the hall down here. She knows I'm the preacher. So every morning she comes in that I see her, she'll say, preacher, how is you this morning? And I'll say, I'm doing fantastic. And she just giggles. She said, I love to hear that. One morning, she was coming, and I saw her coming. And you could, you know, those little black ladies, you can see it working up in them, like, I'm going to get him, you know. And she said, how is you this morning? I said, ma'am, I am doing so good. If I were twins, the world would hate both of me. She sat down on those blue chairs out there and just howled. I mean, just laughed her head off. I'll call somewhere, a business or something, and get some secretary. I'll say, well, how are you this morning? And one of my favorite answers is, if I was any better, I'd be in my tree stand killing something. They don't really know how to act to that one. And they're like, okay, where do I go from there? You say, why is that? Because I believe in helping people. I believe in sincerely caring. And this, fine, how are you? Fine. How are you? We get into robot answers. You really don't care how they are. You just do it because you've heard that's what you're supposed to do. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
All right. So I want to help you understand how to get through life with a good attitude with your heart. How to be sincerely caring about people the rest of your life. God says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep it. Protect it. Guard it. A goalie in soccer is called a keeper. He's guarding the net to keep the opposition out. We're to guard our heart to keep the opposition out so that we can have a right attitude. That's exactly what God says we should do. Now, let me help you with something. We're going to use our Bibles just a little bit, mostly in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse number 2. This one might smart a little bit. You ready? The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Point number one, no one is better than anybody else.
Amen. That's good.
No one is better than anybody else. My dad's sitting over here on this side. My daddy taught me from the time I could walk and talk virtually. He'd say, son, you don't look up to anybody and you don't look down at anybody. The ground's level.
Amen.
Look everybody square in the eye. You're not better than anybody else. And you're no worse than anybody else. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. We are not better than anyone else. Can I tell you something? We're all sinners, according to Romans chapter 3. Isn't it kind of funny? We start comparing ourselves. One sinner's trying to be a better sinner than the other sinner. That's like comparing pigs. One's not quite as dirty as the other, but they both stink. Amen? You know, why do we get into this comparison thing? Why do we get into, well, I've got more things than you have, so I'm a better person. No, you have more problems. No doubt about that. You have more bills. Did you know if you make $50,000 a year or you make $500,000 a year, everybody kind of struggles? Well, if I made $500,000 a year, I wouldn't struggle. Yeah, you would, because you'd buy more things. You can't handle the $50,000 you have. How about $500,000 a year? You see, the ground's level. We're all sinners. Did you know God doesn't care what your last name is? Joe's grandson's Pentecostal. He's talking in tongues out there tonight. Amen. You know, As a school administrator, I used to say this all the time. I don't care what your last name is.
Right.
I treated everybody the same. Didn't matter if it was my kids, the pastor's kids, somebody else's kids. I treated everybody the same way. I really did. I treat people in church virtually the same way, with the same respect, same reverence. May I... when I'm dealing with situations, I don't always, when I was in Christian education and dealing with a lot of discipline issues, there would be a discipline group there that were determining punishment sometimes or determining a judgment. Do you know that often I would never even use the student's name, so nobody had any preconceived idea who it was, so it wouldn't change anything? We would just say, we have a student who has been accused of this. Here's the proof. Here's all the witnesses. This is what's been said. What, according to what the handbook says, what should we do, and how do we enforce it? And I wouldn't even use a name. Sometimes it was somebody's kid that was sitting in the room. Sometimes it was my own. It didn't matter. The name shouldn't determine what we do, i.e., why are some of the people on the Trump administration being investigated, but not the Hillary group?
That's right. That's right.
Last name doesn't matter. Can I tell you something? I've met great people. I have. Do you know great people don't think themselves as great?
Right.
How many of you know the name Dr. Lee Robertson, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Highland Park Baptist Church? I've spent hours with Dr. Robertson. Dr. Robertson's one of the most humble, well, was one of the most humble men you'd ever meet. Now, Dr. Robertson was about 5'6", 5'7". He wasn't very tall, a little shorter than I, and in his older age, a little less weight than I have. But Dr. Robertson always wore double-breasted navy blue suit, black felt tip pen, and he would talk just like this. Point number one, do this. Point number two, do this. Point number three, that's how he talked in life. Dr. Robertson was one of the most personable men you'll ever meet in your life. Now, he didn't sit there and chatter, 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 chatter. But when he spoke, he was very cordial, very kind. And it didn't matter if you were a bus kid or if you were assistant pastor of the world's largest church. I watch a little child come up and say, Dr. Robertson, can you sign my Bible? Yes, sir. What's your name, sir? 90-some years old, signing Bibles, talking to the little boy. I'm thinking, man, that's greatness. Of course, I knew Brother Hiles. I can't tell you how many times I've watched Brother Hiles walk out of the auditorium, down the steps, talking to special needs kids, talking to everybody along the way, go out in the alley, and there are 175, 200 people lined up in the alley to say hello to him, sometimes more than that. Pouring down rain, snow, ice everywhere. I've watched Brother Hiles in the heat of summer walk out there, and those bus kids stand there, and security guards around him and say, and he's shaking hands, howdy, 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 talking to folks as he go, and he'd stop and say, young man, your shoe's untied. And he'd say, oh, sorry, preacher. He'd say, it's okay, let me get it, and pull his hanky out, put it on the alley, put his knee down, and tie a little boy's shoe. That's the pastor of the world's largest church. Nobody watching. That's just what he was. One day, one of the mamas was standing next to a bus kid, and she said, oh, preacher, you don't have to do that. He said, yes, I do. He said, I was a bus kid. My mama took me to church. He said, I didn't even have shoes to wear. He said, your son's got it better than I had it, but his shoe's untied. I want to tie it because he's my buddy. Man, I watched that type of thing take place. That's greatness. I could go on and on. I won't. So, number one, we have to realize no one's better than anyone else. You say, how do you meet rich people? Same way I meet poor people. I don't cater to them. I've been around many millionaires. And I don't cater to them. I don't ask them for a penny. Can't buy much with a penny. I don't ask. I really don't. This man that gave us a check yesterday. I have never asked the person for anything. I'm truly humbled. Say why? I don't know how much the guy's worth, but I can't write a $10,000 check. He can, and just, here you go. No problem. Thank God for it. God put it on his heart, because God knows I didn't put it there. You say, how do you do that? You just be kind to everybody. Just be kind to everybody. You're not better than anybody else. Number two, you're not as good as you think you are. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Point number one hurt. Point number two is really going to hurt. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. The Bible says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Can I tell you something? You're not quite as sharp as you think you are. My mom's not here, so I won't get in too much trouble. She hates this statement, but it's okay. Some of y'all think you're hot snot on a silver platter, but you're nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. But either way, it's nothing but mucus, amen? Can I tell you something? We should not think of ourselves, the Bible says, more highly than we ought to think. I have no right to look down on anybody.
Yes.
None. There are people in here, you're older than I, but you didn't get saved till later in life. Why should I look down on you because you don't know about the Bible what I do? Number one, I don't expect you to know what I know because I've been doing this an awful long time. Number two, as pastor, I'm supposed to know more than you know. I don't compare myself with you. Can I tell you something? I have as far to go as you do. I have just as far to go as you do. I just entered the race at a different spot. And you have to understand, I got a long way to go yet. I don't think I know it all. I happen to know more than most, and that's why I can help a lot of people. But I still have a lot to learn. I have no right to look down on someone because, well, they should have known better than that. Well, how many things do you know better than you still do it? Every human, non-believers too, were created by God and he loves them. This is hard for most of us to understand. You know God loves the God-haters too? God loves the sodomites too? He doesn't love the sodomy, but he loves the people. But God doesn't hate sodomy any worse than he hates your pride. Just so you know, our stinking pride is as nasty to God as sodomy is. Everybody doing all right? We think we're so good. Even most of the good we do for the Lord's tainted by sin. We do it for a selfish reason. Well, I want to get an extra reward in heaven. I want this. I want God to bless me, so I'll do that. Boy, that's a selfish motive. How about we do it just because we're supposed to do it? Now, God doesn't mind why you do it as much as just get it done. But if you want to start comparing motives, we got a long way to go. So, can I help you with something? Never forget that you're a sinner. Any of you that ever heard Dr. Jack Hyles preach, you can't hear him preach a half a dozen times without hearing him tell the story about how he's nothing but a poor kid in Dallas, Texas, grew up with a drunk daddy, son of the neighborhood drunk, with no shoes, lived in 27 houses before the age of 13. Say why? He never wanted to forget where he came from. Never. When we were in college, one of the girls' dorms, the air conditioning went out, and we had brick dorms. Yeah, and it got to cooking. And of course, you can't just plop them girls out anywhere in the middle of a campus somewhere and let them let them sleep, and Brother Hiles did everything he could, but it was going to take days to get air conditioning. He was traveling preaching on that Monday and Tuesday. I think he was in Texas or somewhere in the summer. I mean, it was hot. He went to his hotel room and turned all the air conditioning off, and he said, if those girls have to suffer, I'm going to suffer with them. He would take 10 minutes or 15 minutes every week, and he would tie a handkerchief or something around his eyes and walk around with his eyes to where he couldn't see because of the blind ministry that we had, because he wanted to experience what they experience just for a little while. He did that kind of thing so that he understood people. So when he saw someone that was blind, he had a little inkling of what they were going through. We so flippantly pass by everything. We only see life as we see it. How about you look at life through how somebody else sees it? You're not as good as you think you are. And you're not better than anyone else. Number three, and I'm done. Don't put your shoes on yet. Romans chapter 12, we're still there. Look at verse number 10. Be kind and affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Number three, let's prefer one over the other. Let's prefer one another. That word prefer one another means this. When you want something and somebody else wants something, give them what they want and you give up what you want. That's what brotherly love is all about. Be kind, kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. That means when you come to a four-way stop and you're sitting there, you let the other person go and wave them on with all of your fingers. That means you learn to prefer one another. That means if there's four of you at the table and there's only three pieces of cake, you eat all three so that nobody fights.
That's good.
No, that means you give it up and let everybody else have it.
Amen. Keeping the weight off of them.
Yeah. you're sacrificing for me, man.
Taking the grenade,
the food grenade. Some of you look like you swallowed it and it exploded,
exactly.
Amen. Ooh. You know, live for others. Can I tell you something? Living that way is fun. You know, letting somebody else have what they want rather than you getting what you want sure does go a long way. I'm having a time of my life watching my wife get ready for our new house. You say, are you picking things out? Nope. That's her baby. You say, why? I want her to have what she wants. In honor preferring one another. Now, I'll get the basement. That's mine. My man cave. Gonna have me a big sink down there, butchering sink, amen? Got it all planned in my head already. Don't come down to my basement. You don't like it, don't give a flip. But when you see the deer hanging in the backyard, don't get mad, amen? That's it. It's a coming.
Don't follow the blood trail.
I can't, I'm colorblind. Now, wait a minute. In honor preferring one another. You know, it's fun to live letting a child choose something over you from time to time. Instead of demanding it be your way. And if somebody chooses something other than you want, don't throw a fit and pout. You give them two choices of a game, and you didn't want to play the one they chose. Well, don't have a bad attitude. Jump in and have fun with it. Beat them at it and go play the one you want to play. Hoorah! You know, this ought to permeate in all areas of life. Let me show you what I mean. Do you prefer others at work over yourself? Let your coworker have the lead instead of you? Let them have the easier of the two jobs? Yeah. How about shopping? You know, when you go shopping, you almost need to buy insurance to go shopping the way some people push a cart.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. I hate going to a grocery store. Let me tell you. Now, my wife, God bless her, she does the grocery shopping, and I don't do it. Now, on a rare case, I'll go with her, and I'll push the cart, and I don't make any decisions. Her baby. I'm there obediently pushing the cart. But you know how many times you get crashed into, bumped into, yelled at, screamed at, cursed at, and other things at. It's crazy. You know, there's only so many times, there's only so much room in that place, and you got to say, excuse me! in business. You know, we would get a lot more business done if we would do it with the right attitude. I wish people could follow me around and so you could see how kind you can be in business, even when you disagree with somebody. When I met with the county, you know, we didn't have one cross word said. And I really wasn't a happy man, to be quite honest with you. I purposely went in and sat at the head of the table. I know what colors to wear that mean power. And I wore them that day. I wore a white shirt, red tie, and a black coat. And they said, Pastor, you're sitting at the head of the table and you called the meeting. What do you want? That's how it started. I almost thought like saying, well, let's bow our heads and pray. But I knew that wouldn't have been. It was so hard not to. I almost said, well, let's start here. It's such a habit for me. I thought, I better not do that. That'll intimidate them right out of the room. Now, wait a minute. And I started by saying, I am not an engineer. I don't claim to be. And I am not here challenging the engineering of what we've had to go through. That's for y'all to fight about. I said, what bothers me is the process we've had to go through, how long it took, and how much it's costing me. And that's what I want to discuss. Nothing here is personal. Do you know that all the defenses kind of went pew, 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 down in the room? We said some very pointed things to one another. Our engineer that I paid to do all this work, or that you paid to do all this work, we walked out. He said, Pastor, I'd never seen so much get done without cussing in my life. He said, I'm glad you didn't come with guns blazing. I said, oh, they were blazing. He said, no, you were shooting arrows. It was silent. He said, it wasn't loud. It was just... I said, oh, yeah. I said, you get more things done that way. He said, oh, you got a lot more done than anybody's ever said in those meetings. I said, well, it wasn't personal. I said, I wasn't attacking them. We just need to fix the system. And he said, your approach of not attacking them is what took them off guard to listen. I said, that's how you get things done in business, Doc. He said, oh, I was listening. I watched. He said, you taught me some things today. I said, I'm old enough to be your dad, that's why. Let's prefer one another. Let's let somebody else have what they want. Did you know we ought to be in honor preferring one another, even with our propriety, with our stupid cell phones? Cell phone etiquette is worthless these days. You can't sit in a restaurant without hearing 14,000 conversations on a phone.
Yep.
When I was a Christian school principal, kids weren't allowed to have their phones in class. They'd turn them into the office every day and pick them up at the end of the day. What if they need to get a hold of my kid? Call the office. We'll get a hold of them. I know where they're at.
Amen.
Man, and if I caught them with their phones during school, I confiscated them and gave them demerits for it. Mommy and Daddy had to come pick the phone up. And then I didn't let them bring school for a couple weeks. And I hate to say it, teenagers don't need a stinking cell phone. They really don't. I'm going to get in a whole lot of trouble on that one, but that's life. Can I tell you something? We ought to be aware of what's going on. I think if you're at home with your family, limit how much you text and do your electronics. Be with your family.
Amen.
My phone rings constantly and texting constantly. My family understands that, but there are times I don't respond right away. It might be a little delay, but I deal with emergency after emergency and problem after problem, but my family has never felt cheated by it. You say, why? Because when I'm with them, I'm with them. My kids saw me take them a briefcase full of work home every day that they lived in my house, and they never saw me work out of that briefcase. One day, one of my kids said, Dad, what do you bring that thing home for? He said, you never do anything out of it. I said, not while you're awake. I said, but I do work out of it. You just don't see me work out of it. Oh. Now they're older, they're finding out what that means. Can I tell you something? Learn to turn your phone off in church, public services. I can't believe how many phones go off in weddings and funerals. It's ridiculous. We're so glued to technology that we don't think we can live without it. That is a modern day ball and chain. Right. Wish to God I could throw it away and never have to have another one. But my job does not afford that. And it's a part of life I have to be a part of. It used to be one phone in the kitchen with one of those little curly Q cords on it, you remember? And you tried to keep stretching that thing out without pulling it out of the phone where it went, drink! We thought we were uptown when they had cordless phones with the little thing that you pulled out. You know, you could walk away from the kitchen and actually talk to somebody. And I'm going to tell you something. Parents, if your kids have phones, you better monitor it. You better look at the pictures. Better monitor social media. Social media is not all it's put up to be. There's a lot of nasty stuff that takes place with pictures and phones. It's all I can go into right now. But be very careful. Be careful of your ringtones. There are some very vile ringtones out there. You know, I'm going to read a couple verses to you. Jesus, of course, is our greatest example. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Think about how much Jesus gave up so that you could have eternal life and salvation and a Christian life. He didn't get what he wanted. He gave us what the Father wanted. He gave us what we wanted. You're getting a Methodist baptism? Sorry. Can I tell you something? We ought to be more like Christ in that area. Let's not think of ourselves higher than we should. No one's better than the other. And let's remember to prefer one another. That's how you have a pure heart towards mankind. That person that treats you mean, they had a bad day. Some people just have a bad life. Some people have a hard time. Doesn't make them bad people. Just because they said something mean to you once doesn't mean that they're a bad person. Do you know somebody loves them? You say, yeah, I'm glad it's not me. No, you ought to. You ought to at least be able to love them. You don't have to like them necessarily. But let's not lose hope in mankind. Let's reach everybody we can. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done.